Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel. It's a great honor to be able to give praises to the Most High and the little sanctuary that he has given unto his people. My name is Morey Obadiah Yisrael at the House of Yisrael, located in 1907 Vine Street in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I'm standing in for the Elder Morey here at the House of Yisrael, Morey Ishaya ben Yisrael. And this is nothing but the truth. And we're giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Most High Yah. And who is this Yah? Well, Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the Savior of not only Israel, but of the entire earth world today. So we give all thanks and praises to the Most High. And we pray that He bless our words to give honor, glory, and praises unto Him. Yesterday, we dealt with who is Israel and the significance of what the nation of Israel stands for, the type of ensign that they are to the entire world. And the Most High has shown how great of an importance His servants are. And just speaking about the great importance and the responsibility that His servants carry to be a light to the entire world, not just to one another, but to the entire world, to the intent and to the extension that the whole earth are blessed by blessing Yahweh's servants. And just like they can be blessed in blessing Yahweh's servant, they also can be cursed in cursing Yahweh's servant. So it's a great responsibility in taking on the name of Israel. And it's a scripture that I neglected to bring out yesterday, but I want to bring out today. It's recorded in the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Because, yes, the name of Israel is great, and the service of Yahweh do great works in the name of Yah. But once we have consecrated ourselves, and once we have committed our ways to the Most High, and once we start cleaving to our Elohim, there's certain things that the Most High will have take place to show our commitment to our Creator. And in the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the first verse. Yet now hear, O Yaakov, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Yahweh, that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Yaakov, my servant, and thou Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as amongst the grass, as willows by the watercourses. And one shall say, I am Yah's. And another shall call himself by the name of Yaakov. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh, and surname himself by the name of Israel. See, Yahweh is married unto his people, and we are married to our Elohim. And the token of this marriage is the keeping of the covenant. And that covenant, and within that covenant, is recognized that besides Yah, there is none else. In this covenant, it's also seeking out meekness, seeking out righteousness. So the name Israel carries a great responsibility, and it also carries great duties in maintaining this name that the Most High has bestowed upon us. But what's plaguing the nation of Israel today are not just the curses that we are under, because even the curses that Israel are under today are behavior-based. It's because a lot of the ways of righteousness we forsook. A lot of the ways of Yahweh we didn't even want to learn about or know about. We didn't even want to hear the words of Yahweh being uttered in our ears. And this created spirits. And this created a certain type of attitude that plagues our people today. And for that are destroyed. But like I said, a lot of this is based on behavior and how we carry ourselves. And one of the major deterrents, one of the major destroyers of Israel today is envy. Envy is something that is rottenness. Envy is something that is putrid. Envy is something that is an abomination to the Most High. Now, in the concordance, envy is defined as jealousy. Comes from the Hebrew word kana. And in the dictionary, in Webster Dictionary, the word envy is defined as the feeling of wanting to have what is of someone else's. These are the definition of their terms of what the word envy means. But what is the wisdom of Yah? How does the wisdom of Yah define envy? What are the testimonies to define envy? Well, we're going to attempt to go through some today. And why is this important? Why attack these issues that and these attitudes that's plaguing our people today as a nation? Why is it of an importance? Well, first, Yahweh said that we should humble ourselves. And wisdom lets you know that the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So a lot of the things that are plaguing our communities, a lot of the things that are plaguing our nation today, are just simply because we have learned ways that are unrighteous and follow ways that are not righteous. And righteousness and to do good is to be learned. It says this in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. If you turn with me there. And in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, I'm going to read this. I'm going to start reading at the 16th verse. And it reads, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. And plead for the widow." So to do well is something that has to be learned. So contrary to what nations may say, that you could just come up and just be righteous and you don't have to learn it. It just naturally comes to you to do right. Well, some attributes may come to you, but other ones have to be learned. And that's why we have a book before us today, in our midst today. And that's why we have messengers, servants that are teaching us the ways of Yah. Because in that, this is how we learn to do well. This is how we learn to seek judgment and to relieve the oppressed and judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. But when envy is in our midst, and when envy is in your dwellings, you're not seeking any of this. And you're certainly not learning how to do well. We're just not learning that when envy is in our midst. And this is how envy is destruction. And this is how you know this. If you turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 27th division. And in Proverbs, the 27th division, and the 4th verse, it reads, "Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" Yes, as wicked as wrath can be, and as outrageous as anger can be, who can stand before envy? Because envy is something that breaks down. Envy is something that destroys. Envy is something that is toxic. And it also says in the 13th verse of this same division, of Proverbs 27, in verse 13 it says, well, no, I wrote down the wrong verse. That's the verse I was looking for, was that 4th verse. But it says this in Proverbs, the 14th division, if you turn with me there. Envy is something that is destroying our community. Envy is something that is plaguing our nation. And envy is something that it will destroy you from the inside out. In the book of Proverbs, the 14th division and the 30th verse, it reads, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones." It's just something that's deteriorating. It destroys. It doesn't build up. It simply tears down. But if you have a sound heart, that's life. But envy is something that's just rottenness to the bone. It's something that's evil. It's something that is corruptible. It's something that is an abomination. It also says this in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd division. If you turn with me there. And we'll just give it some definition to what envy is and how it is a destruction. In Proverbs, the 3rd division and the 31st verse. This is why Yah said, "Look, I know I sent you into captivity, and I know nations can come in the midst of you, and I know that they'll prosper, and I know that they have a lot of positions that you would want, that you would desire. I know that they have a lot of ways that they move in that you would like to move, and it's things that they worry about that they don't worry about that you have to worry about. But by all means, be warned. Don't desire this at all, because this is destruction." In Proverbs, the 3rd division and the 31st verse, it reads, "To envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways." So no matter how attractive that it may look, no matter how tempted it may be, no matter how entertaining it may appear to be, these things are not to be chosen by the righteous. Because to envy is to covet. To envy is to desire, is to want. And why would you want any dainties? Why would we want anything that's gotten by the hands of the wicked? For if you have wisdom and understanding, you already know the judgment of the wicked. So why would you desire his trinkets? Why would you desire his lifestyle? Why would we want to walk after a people whom the Most High only made for the day of his destruction? See, envy is something that's just rottenness to the bone. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 23rd division. So we don't envy the oppressors, and we're not to choose any of their ways, because this is leading to the path of destruction. And in the book of Proverbs, the 23rd division and the 17th verse, it reads, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of Yah all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." That's right, because all that's obtained by the oppressors, all that's obtained about those who envy, all of that is just temporary. That means when the wicked fall, so does their dainties, so does their lifestyle, so that the path that they have chosen, because it's not solid, it's not set, it's not fixed, a way of destruction. And the ways of Yah are the ways of life. So why envy the oppressor? And why envy sinners? Because to the righteous, the wicked are an abomination. So to the righteous, it's no fun to see this wickedness being promoted the way that it's being. It's not fun to see this evil being promoted the way it's been promoted. But it's been promoted, and it's been a part of our lives for so long that we've just adapted to it. But really, we don't see it for the abomination that it truly is. And you find yourself, or we may find ourselves, actually desiring that. And saying, "Man, I would do that for $25 million. They got $25 million to be a homosexual in that movie. Man, they defiled the Sabbath day, but look at their house. Look at their cars. Man, I'm trying to find me a wife, And this brother going around the city sleeping with every woman. He living the life. No, don't envy. Don't envy the works of sinners. Because it's nothing but destruction. It's nothing but pure destruction. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 27th division. No, turn with me to the book of Job. Excuse me. The book of Job, 5th chapter. Envy is something that is a destroyer. Envy and coveting hold hands together. And that's something that the Most High commands us not to do. In the book of Job, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read the start reading at the first. I'm going to read the first and second verse. Job 5:1 reads, "Call now, if there will be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints will thou turn? For wrath, it killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the wicked, the silly ones." My people, don't we see that everywhere where you see envy is destruction? All you see is mayhem. All you see is chaos, and I can assure you, where there's envy, there's tail-bearing. Where there's envy, there's bloodshed. Where there's envy, there's chaos. Where there's envy, there's covetousness. Where there's envy, there is a lack of the fear of Yahweh. Because envy, that's all it does is destroy. It doesn't bring forth any substance. And people that do good, to those that are envious, that's just an abomination, because they're not looking at the works and they're not trying to look at the heart of that man or that woman. All they see is that they having their moment in the sun, and they say, "Man, when I'm going to get my moment in the sun?" Forget that, brother. Forget that, sister. They just fronting. They just putting on a role. They just portraying an act. They not really like that. They really wicked for real. They just plan for this. Well, if they are, Yahweh the judge, and everything that's in the dark will be brought to the light. And how do you know that that's not their intent? How do you know that that's not their heart? This is what envy does. It separates. And you certainly won't want to come together if envy is in your midst. And you certainly won't want to build if envy is in your presence. And you certainly won't want to seek out Yahweh if envy is in your heart, because these are just utter destroyance. And we're going to go through some testimonies to show you what envy looks like. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. And what are we speaking on? We're speaking on what is envy? And why it will behoove to remove envy from our midst. And if you are envious, why it will behoove you to seek Yah and to remove that spirit from off of you. Because surely envy is nothing but destruction. In the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 3rd verse. And this is speaking about Cain and Abel, the first recorded murder that ever took place on the face of this earth. And this was done from a brother to another brother. Genesis 4:3 reads, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yah. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance, it fell. And Yah said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And this is one of the rules. This is how you will rule. When evil's in your house, you could best assure that envy is right in your midst. You can assure that righteousness you will forsake, because now you're ruling over sin. And now your desires, sin's desires, you're controlling it. And verse 8 reads, And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And Yah said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? My people, is this not what's being spoken about in the streets today? Were they murdering our people left and right? Just last night, I heard a scene, a story on the news where a brother was murdered inside of a daycare. And that's all you see up and down the streets in our communities and where we're scattered. The price of life is worth the value of a pair of shoes or a watch or a shirt or a pair of pants or even something as belittling as a look. Man, he had to go. He looked at me wrong. I don't like people looking at me. I had to take him out. He thought he was all that. Huh. I showed him. Because why? Envy is coursing through their veins. And it's a destructor. And surely it will bring down not only people around it, but it will even bring down this host. And this is Yah confronting Cain. Yah already knew what happened. And he asking this fella, where's your brother? And he had the audacity to say, hey, am I my brother's keeper? You can rest assured wherever envy is, oh, it's a proud look. You best believe it's a proud look. Man, he should have died. He shouldn't have said this. Man, she deserved that. She shouldn't have been wearing that. Man, them children needed that to happen like that. They shouldn't have been bad. And man, forget all that. I can't wait till he die. I want his house. I'm going to get all this stuff. Because envy, all it does is bring about destruction and chaos. And look at the judgment that Yah gave Cain for having this spirit. And now, in verse 11. No, in verse 10, it says that he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And this is what happens when you become envious. A lot of these murders that's taking place in our communities today that's being done by these authority figures, it's not that they're being provoked. It's not that they even threaten. This is just envy. You think you bad. You think you could just walk around this community. You really think this is your country. You really think that you are part of this system. Well, I'll show you. I'll murder you on camera and get away with it. Because why? Envy is destruction. Envy is a destroyer. And when you read about, all you have to do is when you read about destruction, you'll just read about nothing positive coming from it. If you turn with me to the book, and it don't matter what you're talking about, whether you're talking about Cain and Abel, Raquel and her sister Leah, whether you're talking about Jacob and Esau, or whether you're talking about these nations that have conspired against Israel. That's why it said, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel shall be no more in remembrance. Envy the blessings that Yahweh gave to his people. And they see how cavalier we were acting with this blessing. But they envied it regardless on how they seen how we acted. And it's through envy you have the New Testament. It's through envy you have the Quran. It's through envy you have the coming forth of the book of day and night. It's through envy you have these false books and these false ideologies with these false gods. Why? Because it's only to guide us and lead us into the path of destruction. And we'll continue reading about what envy looks like. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter. In Numbers, the 16th chapter, this is another testimony about three men named Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and how they seen how Yah was working with Moses, and they seen how this man's spirit was ordered, and they couldn't stand it. And they couldn't stand it to the point that they rose up against this man. And in Numbers, the 16th chapter, and the first verse, it reads, "Now Korah, the son of Hizar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleg, son of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, because misery loves company, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown." So these men was already of renown. They were already respected. They already had a high ranking. But it wasn't good enough. And it says, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Yahweh is amongst them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of Yah." And isn't this the spirit that's going on in the nation of Israel today? Man, who you think you are, man? We all Israel. You talk about Yahweh working with you. And Yahweh speaking with you. And all you doing is bringing out stuff that was already in the book. All you doing is saying stuff that was already written. But then ask them, well, before I showed it to you, did you see it? Yahweh didn't show it to you. Yahweh didn't reveal it to you. Yahweh didn't visit you about this matter. So obviously Yahweh has certain men and women set for certain positions. So why are you envious? We are the children of Israel. So when Yahweh give a revelation, who do you think the first people that's going to know about it? The children of Israel. So why be envious? You're envious because all you set in your heart on is covetousness. And it's all you set upon is destruction. But look at the humility that Moses displayed. "And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow Yahweh will show who are his and who is holy, and cause him to come near unto him. Even him in whom he have chosen will he cause to come near unto him." And this is what Yah's servant did. He didn't get arrogant and say, "Negro, who you think you talking to? We can take it to the bushes." No, he fell upon his face and humbled himself. And he said, "You know what? I know I serve the true and living Elohim, a righteous Elohim. He going to establish who he with and who's holy." And if you skip down in this same chapter, because it's a long story, you can read it at your own leisure. But if you skip down to the 28th verse, of the same chapter, and this is that what the decree has went forth, because envy is in the midst, envy is in the coast. So now everything that they have touched, everyone that they associated with is now corrupted. And Moses has instructed the people, look, don't touch nothing of these men, because Yahweh going to show you in a moment who he's with and who's holy. And in the same chapter, in the 28th verse, it reads, and Moses said, hereby, you shall know that Yahweh have sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, and if they be visited up after the visitation of all men, then Yahweh have not sent me. So this is Moses saying, look, if they die of old age, they die because it's just they've reached a peak of how old Yah said man's going to make it to and die, Yahweh didn't send me. If they just die the death of any common man, Yahweh didn't send me. And in verse 30, it says, but if Yahweh makes a new thing, and not only is he saying makes a new thing, he's about to proclaim what's going to happen. If Yahweh make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked Yahweh. Because that's what it's always been about. He just say, look, if something new happened, you're going to know they provoked me. And I'm not to be played with. No, he said, look, every work I done has been because Yahweh told me to do it. So when you approach, you're not approaching me. You're approaching Yahweh. And if something new happened to these men, it's because they have provoked Yahweh. And that's what envy will cause you to do. Provoke Yah. And in verse 31, it says, and it came to pass, as he had made the end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertain to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perish from amongst the congregation. This is the judgment of Yahweh. Because as I said, envy is a destroyer. And as it says, and it says in the scriptures, envy is rottenness to the bone. So not only will envy destroy your surrounding, but it'll even destroy you. And that's what these men died from their own envy of position. All because the man was getting respect, but they were already respected. They were already men of renown. They already was great in the nation of Israel. They were from the tribe of Levi. And this is what Moses was petitioning to him and saying, look, man, is it not good enough? You the sons of Levi? You the priest. You're going to handle the works of Yah. Why are you envying my position? We the same. It's just Yah working with us different. But that wasn't good enough. Because when envy is in your midst, there's no pleading. When envy is in your midst, there's covetousness. And when envy is in our midst, there's destruction. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter. In Genesis, the 37th chapter, this is another testimony of what envy will cause you to do. In Genesis, the 37th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the first verse. Genesis 37:1 reads, and Yaakov dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Yosef brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Yosef more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And what his brethren saw, that their father loved him more, And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And this is what envy will cause you to do. It will stir up hatred. This is what envy is. To the point to where they couldn't even deal with their brother. And they refused to deal peaceably with their brother. Why? Because he was the favorite of his father. And his father bought him a coat of many colors. And they said, man, we don't respect this. Yeah, I know how it, you know, you can feel how it feels to be a sibling and you got brothers and one's favorite. But goodness gracious, you don't grow up and hate the brother. But this is what envy will cause you to do, because envy, you're not thinking rationally. You're not able to discern. So you're not using understanding. All you see is that this person is the bane of your existence, and they blocking you from getting that favor. They're blocking you from being in that position. They blocking you from getting that shine. And you do whatsoever it takes to get rid of them and get them out of that scene. And this is what this man brothers did. They kidnapped him and sold him as a slave. But little did they know, all that they did, this was purposed by the Most High to be a blessing to the children of Israel. Just like what Yahweh did when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, this was to establish Yahweh's servant. But when envy is in your midst, you're not looking for blessings. When envy is in your midst, you're not looking to cleave unto Yah. When envy is in your midst, all you're looking for is destruction. And you best be assured, if envy is in your heart and envy courses through your veins, you can best be assured that Satan can work with you. Satan is your agent. He got you because you already can be compromised. And you will already break the law in a moment's notice just because you covet a position that's not even yours. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. In the book of 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, this is another testimony about a wicked man and a wicked woman. His name was Nabo, and his wife was Jezebel. And this man was the most wicked king that ever existed. Matter of fact, he sold his soul to do evil. And this is how, and this testimony is just showing you how egregious envy looks. In the book of 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, the first verse, it reads, "And it came to pass, after these things, that Nabo, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria." And this is Ahab the king, excuse me. "And Ahab spake unto Nabo, saying, give me the vineyard, thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and will give thee for it a better vineyard than it." Now, this is to show you how foolishly you'll deal with envy. Now, this man wanted this man's vineyard because it was close to the palace. And he said, look, if you give me a vineyard, if you a vineyard better than the vineyard, you give it to me. Well, if you got a vineyard that's better than his, then why are you looking at his? Why are you even coveting his? You already have a vineyard that's better than his. But this is what envy will do. It'll have you acting foolishly. But let's continue reading. It says, "And Ahab spoke unto Nabo, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And the bow said unto Ahab, Yahweh forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee, because this man knew the law. And Yah said, you don't remove the landmarks. You don't let the land come out of your possession, because the land belongs unto Yahweh. And Yahweh is giving it unto you. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Nabo, the Jezreelite, had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. This man was so wicked that he went into his house and moped, because the man was confirming the words of Yah, confirming the law. And he just couldn't stand it. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I have spake unto Nabo, the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, does thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry, and I will give thee the vineyard of Nabo the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Nabo. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Nabo on high amongst the people, and set two men, sons of Belial. Notice you didn't get two children, because children of Israel already know you don't bear false witness against your neighbor, but sons of Belial will. And when you got envy, you don't have no problem with this. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou did blaspheme Elohim and the king. And they carried him out and stoned him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And then they proclaimed the fast and set Nabo on high the people. And there came in two men, the children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Nabo, in the presence of the people, saying, Nabo did blaspheme Elohim and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Nabo is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Nabo was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Nabo the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Nabo is not alive, but dead. And when it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Nabo was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Nabo the Jezreelite to take possession of it. No shame. Because when envy is in your midst, you're just unjust. And as it says, the unjust, they don't know no shame. But everything that's in the dark will be brought to the light. Because look at the judgment of what Yahweh had to say about the matter. In verse 17, it says, and the word of Yahweh came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Nabo, whither he is going down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith Yah, hast thou murdered, and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith Yah, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Nabo, shall dogs lick thy blood. Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me on my enemy, and he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of Yahweh. And that's what envy calls you to do. You'll sell yourself to work evil in the sight of Yah. Because all you can see is what you want. All you will see is what you desire and what you require. And this judgment from Yah say, look, the same walls where the dogs lick up the blood of this man, they're going to lick up the blood of you. And when Ahab heard this, he humbled himself. He put on sackcloth, ashes, fasted. He humbled himself. And Yahweh had mercy upon him. But Jezebel, like I said, the scriptures, I just know no shame. She died that fate. And the dogs licked up her blood. Because this is what envy is. Envy is selling yourself to do evil in the sight of Yahweh. Envy is a destruction. And this is what's plaguing our people to this day. It's so prevalent and such a destroyer to our community that if we cleave to Yah and keep his law, confirm his words, we can get rid of this out of our midst. Because it says this in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. And yes, there's jealousy. And yes, there's wanting. But Yah didn't say nothing about wanting. This is what he said in his law. In the book of Exodus, 20th chapter. And the 17th verse. Which so happens to be the 10th commandment. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Why? Because why is this the 10th commandment? Because 10 is in the order of 3, which means it's something that's sanctified. It's holy. It's set apart. That's this man's house. That's this man's wife. That's his manservant. And his maid servant. So if you want a maid servant and a maid servant, then petition the Yah. If you want a house, then petition the Yah. If you want a wife, then petition the Yah. You don't have to covet what belongs to your brother or sister. You don't have to envy your brother or your sister. Yahweh will give you us our heart's desire, if our desire is upon righteousness. But if you envy, then you best believe destruction is in your midst. And this is not keeping the law if envy is in your midst. Now, many of our people say we got to keep the law. But ask them, is being envious, is that breaking the law? And a lot of our people say, well, no. That just means you desire. It's breaking the law because it's coveted. This is an abomination in the eyes of the Most High. It says this is the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter. No, excuse me. Numbers, the 16th chapter. No, Numbers, the 14th chapter. Excuse me. Had it right. Numbers, the 14th chapter. And that's the problem. You want what belongs to your brother or your sisters. You want what belongs to your to these nations. You want their positions. You covet their houses. You covet their lifestyle. You covet their existence because it seems as if it's the way of living. Well, really, this is just a portion of the wicked. If you want it, then commit your works unto Yah and seek Yah about the matter. But if you envy these nations to the point to where you start blaspheming the name of Yahweh and you start getting angry at the Most High, well, why I got to work 8 hours? And this man can just go out here and work a couple hours and be a millionaire. And I'm just living check to check. Because didn't you understand? Y'all say I cursed the ground for man's sake. This is the affliction that we got to go through. Why I say, Mike, they could come from other countries and be prosperous. And I was born here and I can't get it. Because you've been set apart. And in ever in all that you were seeking, did you ever seek the Most High? Did you ever inquire of the Most High? Or did you just pray to the Most High, put in no works, and then get frustrated with the Most High because you don't have it? And then start getting envious to these other nations. This is just not the ways of righteousness. And in Numbers, the 14th chapter, and this envy will cause people to speak foolishly against the Most High. And this is what the nation of Israel did in Numbers, the 14th chapter. I'm going to start reading at the first verse. Numbers 14 and 1 reads, "And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would Elohim that we had died in the land of Egypt? Or would Elohim had died in this wilderness? And wherefore have Yah brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make us a captain, and let us return into Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." This is what envy will do. When it speaks about this fourth beast speaking great words against the Most High, well, he would teach it to his dignitaries. And if we take it on the ways of the dignitaries, now we speaking great words against the Most High. Now we call in the land of our captivity the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now we saying that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now we saying I don't need the laws of Yah. I got the Constitution. I don't need to seek Yahweh and King David. All I got to do is vote in 4 years. Man, I don't have to worry about going back to the land. I'm going to get me a car. And I'm going to get me a house, a big old house. And I'm going to just enjoy myself. I'm going to make Jerusalem here in Babylon. This is an abomination. And this is what envy will cause you to do. To deal foolishly. Because envy is something that's rottenness to the bone. This is what envy is. It's rottenness to the bone. And all it does is cause destruction and mayhem. And as we just read, Yahweh said, thou shalt not covet. And if you covet, you'll steal. And if you'll steal, you'll murder. And if you'll murder, you'll start serving another Elohim that is not Yah. This is what you'll do. Why? Because envy is rottenness to the bone. This is what envy is. It's a poison that we must get out of our midst. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, the 32nd chapter. Well, no, I don't think I want to go to Numbers, the 32nd chapter. But this is what it'll cause you to do. This is what envy will cause us to do. It will cause us to be desirous. It will cause us to be lustful. It will cause us to be coveters. And Yahweh said, thou should not covet. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet their house, their manservant, their maidservant. If you desire these things, if we desire prosperity, then let us seek it of Yahweh. If we desire a wife, then let us seek it from Yahweh. If we desire having this relief from this oppression, let us seek it from Yahweh. But let us not envy our oppressors and start choosing their ways. Because this is an abomination to Yah. Because Yahweh is the one that gives and taketh away. Yahweh is the one that kills and make alive. Yahweh is the one that sets one up, and Yahweh is the one that setteth one down. Yahweh is the one that maketh one rich, and Yah can make one poor. So anything that we desire, anything that we are lacking, all we have to do is seek out Yahweh, our Elohim. Why envy these nations? Turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 24th chapter. In the book of Psalms, the 24th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the first verse. And this is a beautiful psalm. In Psalms 24 and 1, it reads, "The earth is Yah's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hills of Yahweh? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto the vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." In other words, those that have not envied. "He shall receive the blessings from Yah, and righteousness from the Elohim of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, and that seek the face, and seek thy face, O Yahakob, Selah." Yes. Anything that we desire, if we want to stand up on the mountains, we got to have clean hands. And if you envious, your hands are not clean. Your heart is not fixed. It's not set. There's rottenness in your bones, and there's evil in your midst. And this is why a lot are afraid to approach Yah, because they know they envy. But envy for what? Everything that we need, we can seek Yahweh for. Why? Because the earth is Yah's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. We all belong unto Yah. So why do I need to go to the White House or go to the city council building and try to petition man to try to get this oppressor off of me? When it's Yahweh, the earth is Yah's and the fullness thereof. Why do I have to seek after trying to get this man to me and make me rich? When the earth is Yahweh's and the fullness thereof, anything that we seek and desire, we seek Yahweh for. If you got evil in your midst, then seek Yahweh to remove it. If you desire a better life, then let us seek Yahweh to get it. If we seek in our riches, let Yahweh establish it and give it unto us. If you're trying to leave your job, then seek Yahweh about it. If you want to know should you go to school, then seek Yahweh about the matter and pray he directs your steps. And always have Yahweh on the forefront of your mind. So when you get prosperous, you won't rise up and say, "Look, I did this all by myself." Who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the creator and the possessor of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. This is who Yahweh is. And you won't get prosperity. And you won't get the great abundance without seeking Yah. Because Yahweh say the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Yahweh said, if I were hungry, I would not inquire of you. Yahweh don't need us to feed him. Yahweh wants us to bless his people. Because that's in part of being Israel, is being a blessing. So that we can receive a blessing and give what belongs to Yah unto Yahweh. But if you envious, these things won't take place. And you'll start blaspheming the name of your Elohim because you don't have the possessions of the nations. Because you don't have the riches of the nations. Because you don't have the positions that these nations have set up for themselves. And you'll get angry at the Most High when really you should be seeking the Most High and asking Him to relieve you from the ways of the oppressors and relieve you from your oppressors so that you can flee from the midst of Babylon and not try to incorporate yourself in it. But you won't take heed to none of this if envy is in your heart, because envy will be a part of you until it destroys you. Envy is a cancer. And that's what envy is. It's in the opposition of righteousness. If Yahweh says, seek Yah, seek meekness, seek righteousness, envy is in the opposition of all that. If Yah says, gather ourselves together, because we're that nation that's not desired, and let's put our resources together, and let's try to get a blessing from Yah, envy is in opposition to all of this. If Yahweh's people stand up and give you the revelations of Yah, and they can establish it with his laws and his testimonies, his judgments, his statutes, and you say, man, bump that. I don't got to keep the Sabbath day. I don't have to come into a sanctuary, and I don't got to listen to that man or that woman. Why? Because envy is in opposition to any type of righteousness. This is what envy is all about. It's destruction. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 37th division. I hear people saying all over. I was listening to a radio station today, and they were speaking about, if you hear people talk, you would speak as if they the Most High. Because they sure can tell you where you're going. And they sure can tell you where you're going to dwell at. And I heard someone say, well, look, all the people that's being murdered, they're automatically going to heaven. Well, where is that a law of testimony at? And why are you desiring to be in the place where Yahweh cohabitates at? Yahweh habitates in the heavens. The earth is his footstool. And as holy as Yahweh, why would you want to desire to be next to Yahweh? And you know you're not trying to be the most upright. You know you're not trying to be the most separated. You know you want to do just enough to look like you set apart, but then you want to be like everybody else. Why desire where Yahweh cohabitates? When Yahweh already gave his judgment. In Psalms 37 and verse 11, Psalms 37 and 11 reads, well, I'm going to start at verse 10. No, I'm going to start at verse 9 because it's going to show what happens to those that are envious. Psalms 37 and 9 reads, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon Yah, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. In verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This is what's set up for the meek, is heaven on earth. The paradises and blessings that Yahweh has set for his people are in the land of the living. That's why Israel prophesies to the dry bones to get them up out of their grave. But those that envy will write books and write doctrines and tell you that you won't receive your blessings until you in the grave. Because that's what envy does. It leads you right into the path of destruction until you are destroyed. But Yahweh said that the meek shall inherit the earth. And Yahweh said he will dwell with the lowly. He will come from off high to come and dwell with the lowly. So it's not about Yah getting on our level. It's about us getting on Yahweh's level. But if envy's in your midst, you're going to miss all this. Because evildoers will be cut off. But those that wait upon Yah shall inherit the earth. Turn with me to Psalms 27. In Psalms 27 and verse 13 reads, and this is what Yahweh has prepared for the righteous. It says, I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Not in the midst of the dead, but in the land of the living. And this is King David said, man, I fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of Yah in the land of the living. Meaning, if I was so oppressed, so downtrodden, so vexed, but when Yahweh showed his goodness in the land of the living, man, I fainted. That's how beautiful Yahweh's blessing is upon the righteous. That's how beautiful Yahweh's blessing are upon the meek. And it also says it in verse 4. Because if you want to dwell with Yah, there's a way that you petition to dwell with Yah. In Psalms 27 and 4, it says, one thing have I desired of Yah, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, not all the days of my death, to behold the beauty of Yah and to require in his temple. All day in the four corners of the earth, all day in places where the Most High blessed his little sanctuary to be, people walk up down the street all day and forsake Yah's sanctuary, not knowing how beautiful it is to come into the house of Yahweh and to hear wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. How blessed we are to have a little sanctuary, because there's many of our brothers and sisters who don't have a sanctuary to go to, who don't have brothers and sisters they can just gather with and break bread with. So why not us take advantage of the opportunity to do so, so that we can come and seek Yahweh and we can be with our brothers and sisters who don't have a sanctuary, because Yahweh say he will be a little sanctuary unto them. And his sanctuary was stretched forth abroad. But if you desire to be with Yah, desire to be with Yah in the land of the living. Because as scriptures say, the dead, they can't praise Yah. That's why a live dog is better than a dead lion. Because as much honor as a dead lion has, as respected as a dead lion gets, is dead. Can't praise Yah. But a live dog get an opportunity to straighten out his ways and get mercy, grace, loving kindness, and learn the ways of Yah. So you want to see these things in the land of the living. It says this in the book of Psalms 137. Turn with me there. In the book of Psalms 137, I'm going to start reading at the first verse. And it reads, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there They that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. But how shall we sing Yahweh's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. This is what the righteous desire, because the righteous knows that Yahweh's blessing is in the land of the living. Yahweh has given us a land, and Yahweh has placed his name in this land, and this is a beautiful land. And it said, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if Jerusalem is not my chief joy. So I don't have to envy America. Oh, I don't have to envy the shores or wherever we're scattered in Babylon. We seeking to get placed into that land that Yahweh promised unto our forefathers, where Yahweh's name is placed. And you best assure you won't make it there if envy is in your heart, if covetousness is in your heart, if the ways of destruction are in your works. Because these ways are the ways of destruction, but Yah's ways are the ways and paths of life. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. Let me turn there. Okay. Isaiah 62. I'm going to start reading at the first verse. It says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yah shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hands of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hands of thy Elohim. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezbollah, and thy land Beulah, for Yahweh delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. Bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy Elohim rejoice over thee. And in verse 6 it says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Yet that make mention of Yah, keep not silence, and give him no rest, until he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And this is what the righteous are seeking to do. The righteous are seeking the Most High. The righteous are seeking that the Most High make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The righteous are not rushing to die. The righteous are not rushing to get to the grave. They say, man, we're going to petition to Yah, and we're not going to give Yah no rest. We trying to petition the Yah till he come down from the heavens and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth and establish Jerusalem and make it a praise in the earth. This is what the righteous seek after, not the bounty and dainties of their captives, of their oppressors. And we're not going to make it to this by choosing their ways and by doing their ways. You make it by keeping the words and confirming the words of Yahweh. And the only way we're going to learn this, and the only way we can keep this, is we have to seek out Yahweh's word. And we have to confirm his testimonies. Because in this shows us how to return back to that good land. And how to petition to Yahweh. And how to seek after Yah. And to get the ways of foolishness from off of us. And get the ways of the oppressor's ways up out of our midst. And to get this envy, this rottenness of the bone, out of our flesh. Because it says this in the book of Proverbs, the third division. Turn with me there. In Proverbs, the third chapter, I'm going to start reading at the third verse. And it reads, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yah with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear Yahweh, and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." This is how you get the evil from out of you. This is how we remove the envy from us, is by trusting in Yah and keeping his words and not leaning to our own understanding. And if we do these things, it should be health to our navel and marrow to our bones. It'll be a healing instead of envy being something that's rottenness to the bone. So let us seek after Yahweh, because it's truly something that you'll faint when you see the goodness that Yahweh has for us in the land of the living. In the book of Isaiah, the 64th chapter, last scripture, turn with me there. Isaiah, the 64th chapter. I'm going to start reading at the first verse. And it reads, "Oh, that thou would have rend heaven, the heavens, that thou would have come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire, the fire causeth the water to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. And when thou did terrible things, which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the seen, O Elohim, besides thee, what have he prepared for him that waiteth for him?" This is what Yahweh has stored up for the righteous. So to our people that are sleeping in the ground now, dust covering their bodies, to the children that never saw the Ruach of life, there's an opportunity for the righteous to see those people again in the land of the living. This is what the righteous seek after. Now the wicked will be awoken, but it won't be nothing pleasant. It'll be shame, contempt, and everlasting burning.
What?
They can see the land of the living. So to get rid of this envy, to get rid of this covetousness, and to get rid of this choosing the ways of the oppressors is seeking righteousness, seeking after the ways of Yahweh, because this is what Yahweh has prepared for the living, but destruction is what he has prepared for the wicked. So let us not get the portion of those that are envious. Let us seek Yah, and let us dwell together in unity in the land of the living and give praises unto our Elohim. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.